Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. The land of life, the work of Triple H. We want to smack down.
All right. Here we are. Fresh off a hot news pack. Going through everything happening in the world of pro wrestling, F1, and boxing attractions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so much the sport of F1, but the business of F1.
They signed a big deal with Apple TV. They're going exclusively to Apple in the US and staying here on TSN in Canada.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not as big of a deal, I would think.
No, not too big of a deal here in Canada. Mm-hmm. But yes, if you want to go check out all of the news, we talked about Andrade El Idolo, Tony Khan's media call, Vince McMahon in court, Shinsuke Nakamura being cryptic, Hiroshi Tanahashi responding in kind, and all the latest ratings and an NXT Dynamite breakdown from the past couple of nights as well. So all of that can be found on the XL edition of Rewind to SmackDown. Way tonight we had another head-to-head competition. It was SmackDown versus Game 5 of the ALCS. The Toronto Blue Jays coming in. They've won two games on the road in Seattle. They're just owning the Mariners on their home turf after they did the same to us in Toronto. And this game was going swimmingly. I was a little perplexed in the fourth inning when the Jays loaded up the bases, nobody out, and they didn't manage to get one run in. I was very disappointed, but they picked up a second run. They're up 2-1. Just got to finish two more innings, six outs. That's all we need. The bottom of the eighth, self-implosion. And this pitching staff just fell apart. And the Mariners scored five runs in the bottom of the eighth. And it was a very sad top of the ninth inning as we now head back to Toronto after playing 3 days in a row in Seattle. I mean, yeah, let's go back to Toronto. Although the series has not been kind to us on home turf. But I have a lot of faith. I think game six, I'm very, very high on a game six win. And game seven is just, it's going to be anyone's game. I don't know.
Well, what was your prediction for this one?
For which? Game six? Game.
Yeah.
No, tonight's game? I didn't have a prediction. I didn't go on the record.
Oh, so the Oracle has not spoken.
No. Curious. No, but I think Sunday we win, but Monday I don't know.
Sunday we win, so you're thinking game seven.
I think we get a seventh game.
Okay. All right. I'm taking your lead here. How did this happen in the eighth inning? What the hell? Five runs. What's going on?
We should have put Hoffman in, and instead we went and bad choice. And this, I had both screens on, and man, this just not good. Not good. It's just like, how did this happen? We're up 2-1. Just keep it. Maintain. We need two innings here.
I honestly don't know if I've seen you this invested in any sports, period. Than this run.
Been following the Brewers-Dodgers series. And Brewers are on the brink of defeat, and it's not good. But the Dodgers win, though, and we would get home field advantage because the Brewers have a better record than us. So the Dodgers winning is not the worst thing for the Blue Jays. But again, home field advantage has been not to our advantage.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's an advantage if you want to go to the game. Have you
seen how many Toronto fans are going to these Seattle games? It's crazy.
I could hear it.
Let's go Blue Jays chants going on and stuff. And then the Mariners are trying to drown them out and stuff. It's a very cool atmosphere. Like Seattle's always great for those when you have meaningful games with Toronto.
So. I mean, it's so close to Vancouver and I wonder how many people, you know, just made the drive down. Probably cheaper.
The city's shutting down on Sunday for this game. 8 o'clock Sunday night. I'm so glad Russell Dream is on Saturday.
Have you tried to continue to get tickets for any of these games?
No.
Not trying.
I like watching the game. I have no FOMO looking at any of these crowds. I don't want to be in the midst of all of this. So there you go, everyone. That is your Blue Jays update. We will see how things go Saturday night. Way it is, Russell Dream. Are you ready?
I am. Yeah.
Are you ready for a Saturday night AEW pay-per-view? We haven't done one of these since May. I don't know if I'm ready for it.
I think I'm good for it. Yeah. How long will this one go? It's an 8-match card at present. Main card, I should say. So
8 o'clock pay-per-view start time. Mm-hmm. Midnight.
Midnight, I would think so as well.
I think midnight. Yeah. So that will be our likely start time Saturday night. Sunday, we will have the NWA podcast coming your way with Nate Milton, the whole crew, as they get together for a fallout from Russell Dream and whatever else is going on in the world of professional wrestling. I'm also going to promote that on Sunday night / Monday morning, the new Between the Sheets is going to be coming out. And on this week's show, Chris Zellner is off and I am in with David Bixenspan, and we are going to spend about 2.5 hours breaking down the Observer Hall of Fame candidates for 2025. So that will be coming out. Look for that Monday on the Between the Sheets podcast feed.
Excellent. Very cool. Special guest host gig that you landed.
Yes, I was called upon to chat.
Did you check your contract, your post-wrestling contract, to say that you could work for a rival competing podcast?
Well, I did get the post-wrestling urine inspector today at my door, and I was at my whereabouts, so I did provide a sample, and
maybe we'll let you do
any violations that I'm aware of.
Maybe we'll let you appear for like the first 10 minutes, and you're not going to appear for the rest of the.
I will never ever be podcast. Referred to on any other show again. I will just disappear into the ether. But look out for that, everybody. And finally, Rewind Away drops, and what a review. You know, if there is a theme that Way and I really, really sink our teeth into, it's pro wrestling and racism, okay? When those two worlds come together with old wrestling footage, I think that is our new sweet spot. And boy, did Ravishing Rick Racist really come through here in the clutch with not one, but three promos at Sumo Hall on consecutive nights. And you know, sometimes you have to read a crowd and you don't just work the same match every night. Same goes for promos, and we will see how Rick Rude could insult the Japanese on three consecutive nights and what would the reactions be.
Yeah, I don't know, like, because we don't choose these reviews. It's the people that are patrons of ours.
These reviews choose us here.
Well, I don't know, like, if people are making these choices knowing this type of content is on these shows. I'm thinking not. But they have, between this and like the Mean Gene Okerlund geisha outfit from several weeks ago with his awful Japanese impression. Basically, anytime North American
Rick Rude was way more offensive than Gene.
Yes. Anytime a WWE wrestler or a North American wrestler travels to Japan in the 90s, the results are going to be awful.
Sorry, I'm going over the Gene stuff was pretty bad. It's not as blatantly racist as Rick Rude, but Gene is just randomly talking to guys on the street asking about rice. So yeah, there is, folks, it was a different time. This is how wrestling was back in the day.
So. Stop being so woke, John.
Yeah, okay? Man.
It's just the creativity.
Is the weather calling for snow? You flake. Postwrestling.com, postwrestlingcafe.com, your homes for all this and so much more. Way, are you ready to get into SmackDown?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So this company, my God. So we've got the Seth Rollins deal going down, and now Jacob Fatu enters the mix. So earlier this week, Bodyslam.net reports that Jacob Fatu is dealing with a, quote, non-wrestling related injury that will keep him out of action for, quote, an extended period of time, possibly into 2026. So this is not something insignificant. And despite that, they've been promoting this Drew McIntyre match since last Friday. They promoted it all day today. Drew goes online and posts a video that the match is happening. And then the show begins, and Nick Aldis continues to state this match is happening, and they promote this match all the way up until Drew's entrance, when they finally execute an injury angle for Jacob Fatu, who is now this year's Jade Cargill and has been written off, we presume written off, with a mystery attacker.
Yeah.
Who done it?
Well,
was it Naomi?
Could have been. Yeah.
Maybe it was Big Jim.
She's a relative.
Yeah, I guess.
She would be. Does she have motivation? No, I doubt it's Naomi. And I doubt Jacob Fatu is pregnant, okay? Even though he does have a lot of children. But, I mean, we don't know what the injury is. Hopefully, if it's a year, I mean, that obviously it's concerning. So, hopefully,
into the new year.
Into the new year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's still
significant. It's several months, and this is a guy that is very high on their, you know, project list of guys that they were, you know, he was geared up. Like, this is, you know, not ideal, obviously.
No, not at all. But I found today's booking pretty interesting in that, like, you had all this come out here and essentially sort of like play up the tease of announcing the match being canceled, right?
In the Bay Area, where Jacob Fatu is from as well. So you have that on top of things here.
This was his homecoming.
Yeah, they were building this up as like, this is, you know, Jacob Fatu's big arrival or return home, and in this big match that they promoted all week.
Which might have given you maybe some explanation as to why they didn't just come out and say, hey, he's injured, he can't wrestle. Maybe they just simply wanted him to have a role on the show. But I do also wonder, for people who weren't aware of like the reports that are out there, how disappointed they might have been from, you know, being tease this match all only to have it taken away, which is of course the intended effect, I suppose, by the end. Disappointment.
Well, let's go in order here. So Corey Graves is back, and he's with Vic Joseph. So we not only lost Booker T, but we also lost Michael Cole this week.
Yeah, what do you know?
I don't know what the issue was. I don't know if he was just off or what the deal was. But
I liked Vic on the show, especially with, like, you know, Sol Ruka and Zari on the show. I mean, basically everybody on the show is from NXT at this point. So, like, he kind of has knowledge of everybody, and I thought he sounded good with Graves.
They had a lot to recap here. They went through Crown Jewel, CM Punk becoming number one contender, and The Vision turning on Seth Rollins. All things that were not going to play any factor on SmackDown tonight, but bringing you up to speed. Nick Aldis is in the ring, and he states that Drew McIntyre and Jacob Fatu, he has an announcement to make. Brace yourselves. It's now a number one contenders match to face Cody Rhodes. So we're upping the stakes for this match. Rhodes comes out and notes how Seth beat him. Thinks that should have been their last match. Probably won't. But I've got to handle my business, or he's got to handle his business. I've got to handle SmackDown business. Not a whole lot more you can do on this Seth front. So we're just moving on. And he pulls the crowd on Drew or Jacob Fatu, who they want to see, and notes the roots of Jacob Fatu here in the Bay Area. So that is how we set things up.
I am curious if, like, he had a different promo if Seth, you know, didn't suffer his injury. And, like, usually, like, when a champion loses to another champion in these sort of scenarios, they kind of have some explanation to maybe save face. Cody didn't really have that. He didn't even bring up, like, Seth cheating with the ring or anything like that. He just, like, wanted to move on from it as soon as possible.
Cody and Tiffany could not be more, like, nonplussed about their losses. It's like, eh, big deal.
Just might be like their philosophy to be like, hey, like, let's forget it ever happened, you know.
Well, they did. I had forgotten about these as soon as the show was over. The MFTs are back, and Rey Fénix is getting his latest set of photos done, and Solo wants to do his photos. Could you imagine? And they beat the shit out of Rey Fénix. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss against Zaruka, for the women's tag titles. And Blake Munro is in the front row as she will be taking on Sol Ruka next weekend at Halloween Havoc for the women's North American title. Zarya avoided a sister Abigail early, and then she's seated on the top turnbuckle and goes to lift Bliss and loses her footing here as she is trying to get up. They try a keg stand with Sol Ruka, but misses Alexa. They beat on Alexa until she makes the big tag to Charlotte Flair, who does her comeback, including a kip up and then a crotch chop towards Sol Ruka. Ruka comes off the apron and is caught in the figure four. The figure four is attempted, kicks her into the corner, and then it's a soul snatcher, but Bliss makes the save. Bliss comes off the edge, tries for a catch here, and Zarya and Alexa came off with like so much momentum that you almost thought she was supposed to land this Rana, but Zarya was clearly trying to catch her and then swing her into the barricade. So I didn't really know what was the problem here. So it looked rough, to say the least. Bliss is down. Flair then shoves Alexa out of the way and she eats the bullet as Ruka comes off with a flip. I feel they have done that spot like three times in the last week of the partner saving the other one. We did it with we did it with Kairi and Asuka, and I feel we did it with another one on Monday. But anyway, that's a lot of strong friends.
Partner breaking up a pinfall, you mean?
No, of pushing the other one out of the way and taking the shot.
See, right.
Flair shoves Alexa, takes a flip from Ruka, and then Ruka starts arguing with Blake Munro. Flair chop blocks her and then throws her into the ring, stomps the knee, and taps out Sol Ruka with the figure eight as Blake laughs maniacally in the front row. And then the four, they shake hands at the end. I did not think this was too smooth of a match overall, but what did you think, especially about Sol Ruka and Zarya finally getting their tag title match?
I thought the match was decent, but there was, to me at least, nothing that really stood out in the way we've seen, like in the way I expect an NXT, you know, like special attraction to stand out. Like I'm at this point used to people like Javon Evans, like justifying an appearance on the main roster to really get us hyped for the time that they will eventually come and you know, perform in full time on the main roster. And I thought like they just, Sol Ruka and Zarya in this match, I thought just looked competent, but I will say like Sol Ruka still managed to feel to me a little bit more special than usual because of her incredible agility. Soul Snatcher at this point, I think we've seen it so often, even on the main roster, that it's losing its freshness a little bit, but I mean, it's still a pretty impressive thing to see every time. But this crowd did not react very much for these two. They didn't react very much to the Blake Munro teases. I'm simply not sure why they didn't do this match in Australia last week instead. You know, with at least you'd have a Zarya, you know, home country connection that I think would have made a whole lot more sense. Probably, I mean, I know it would have provided them with an incredible atmosphere that was a lot better than tonight, I'm sure.
You don't think doing a segment to set up the match in Australia was worth the trip?
Listen, I'm sure she got, hopefully she had a nice home-cooked meal, okay? I'm sure there are plenty of reasons for Zarya to go back to Australia, but that two-minute segment on last week's SmackDown was not really one of them.
It's a great point. I think like for Zarya, I think that would have been the location to do it in.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the Post Wrestling Cafe this month, John Pollock and Wei Ting sit down for a new edition of Talk. We are also going back to 1992 to look at the G1 climax from that year. Rich Van and W.H. Park are getting together to review Peacemaker Season 2 and look at Marvel Zombies. Plus, we have Book Club detailing Kamala Harris's new release, 107 Days, weekly editions of Collision Course, and the XL versions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. All can be found at postwrestlingcafe.com. Rhodes is backstage, runs into Jacob Fatu, who welcomes Cody to the Shark Tank, and he's going to dog walk Drew all over town, and Cody's going to know what he's all about.
Going to know the real meaning of Ghost Ride the Whip.
Thank you. All right. I couldn't get all of this in here, but that's because I was preparing for Aleister Black, Zelina Vega, and the Family Snake.
The Family Snake? Do we know that this is the Family Snake?
I think we're going to see more of this snake. I don't think this was just a one-off. So we have Aleister Black and Zelina Vega, and this looks like the opening of a Bond film. And Aleister explains that everything I have done has been a calculated move in my head. He's been planning all of this since April when he came back. It's been about this last man standing match and getting Zelina, who I know she's going to be booked horrible with that U.S. belt. It's my Aleister.
No. This man was planning this since he was in the House of Black in AEW, counting the days till when he'd be finally like, he was planning this since that Adam Cole match when Adam Cole said goodbye to him. And he told us, no, that wasn't meant to be anything. No, that was all in the works.
Didn't you notice that I was wearing the color of the character of Vega from Street Fighter on my socks? Didn't you notice that symbol of the snake to represent one man's love for his wife?
Yes.
This is the most interesting man in professional wrestling. I have so many questions. This was all calculated. It was all part of the inevitable truth. We are not the infection. We are just the mirror that shows it.
Yes. What?
So if I had like a horrible rash, okay? I'm upset about the infection. That's what's affecting me. The mirror is just like what?
Well, they're saying all they are the truth tellers. And what you're upset by is not necessarily what you're already being infected. They're just pointing it out.
I would prefer Aleister Black translate. Like, could we just, instead of the utilization of a metaphor of the mirror, let's just, we are the truth tellers.
Yeah.
No well, more.
I think Vega should be the translator. Like, Aleister Black can keep cutting these promos. I would love for Zelina Vega to be say, what my husband intends to tell you is, like, she should do it in a Puerto Rican, like, New Yorker accent.
She is the human subtitles for this man to explain.
That's what I was hoping. But it sounds to me like via this segment, she's just doing the same promo that he is. So, I mean, Zelina, I think, is one of the best promos in the women's division. And not that you ever got to see it during that, like, her recent runs, but like, to me, like, I like the pairing. I think they look amazing together. But I was hoping that Vega would be able to bring a little bit of sort of groundedness to the Aleister Black presentation. Judging by this segment, it just seems like she's being dragged into the Aleister Black type of way of speaking. And we're having to interpret it ourselves.
Well, Aleister explains to us, there is no one more violent than Zelina. It's like the woman who 6 months ago, her gimmick was, you're short.
Well, have you seen her
riding a motorcycle outside? Like, this is the most violent woman, Zelina Vega now.
Well, have you seen her with a choncla? Okay. Get ready for the black mass with a choncla. All right. You ever, how does that sound?
I'm sure they can workshop that. We are what you would call a necessary evil. The venom isn't poison. It's salvation.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm ready. I'm ready for weekly pro. I don't need wrestling from these two. I just want these gospels every week.
They look really cool, but The problem with, to me, the Aleister Black promos is that they're just like, they're too like poetic, you know, for their own good. And they're just, they don't really connect.
Wait, again, you got a serpent now.
I'm really hoping for Zelina Vega to like be able to just kind of like translate these to make them feel just a bit more effective to most people that are listening to it. And I wouldn't be that confident by this one example, unfortunately, myself.
So earlier, they promote Sami Zayn having a U.S. Open challenge. He bursts into Nick Aldis's office, and he complains about now being off the show. So I felt like I missed something here. Aldis explains, well, Nakamura deserves a rematch, and he's in Japan. I think he's shooting for a different type of rematch myself. And then Zayn explains to him, this U.S. title means a lot to the people. Means a lot to me. So I'm commandeering your show and I'm going out there. And Nick Aldis is like, wait, I've got like 25 minutes free and you're going to go out there and just stand in my ring. I don't have stuff planned for you to disrupt. Sammy, don't do that. So Sammy leaves and The Miz, who has been there this whole time, he's working on some agreement with Aldis. I guess no one else in the roster was watching this, so Miz got the leg up on everybody to be able to answer the challenge after the break when Sammy comes out. But The Miz, who is sick of these open challenges, gets attacked by Carmelo Hayes, and thus he is removed. And out comes the returning Ilya Dragunov, who has been gone for 13 months with a torn ACL. Just to put this to tie everything together, this guy has been gone as long as WWE wants Andrade to be on the shelf, unpaid.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Ilya is out with a right knee brace, and the man's gotten some artwork done. Way?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Why are you asking me? Am I the neck tattoo expert?
Well, here? I thought that this was like some kind of like paint. And then as we got closer, I was like, oh no, he inked himself up on his throat and like chest area. And like from this distance, like this looks like an infection that Aleister Black was warning us about. And we are the mirror.
Right. Yeah. I guess from this distance, it kind of looks like he was shot with a paintball gun.
Like this needs some colors. This needs some definition.
Well, this stuff takes time. Okay. He's been gone for 13 months. Yes. But I mean,
I'm sure in person, this looks great close up, but from a distance, which you are performing on, I don't know about this one. Maybe it's not done.
It's definitely not done. I mean, something like this. I mean, I imagined he's probably going to get his whole body tatted up, you know, long enough.
He looks like the kind of guy who would do that.
Yeah, I can't really tell what it is. What is this? Like, it must be some dragon thing.
I don't know.
Isn't it? I can't tell. Anyway. I listen. Like,
which kind of answers our question right there about its effectiveness?
Well, when you're a smaller wrestler, you know, which he is, I think like any advantage you can have to make yourself stand out and look somewhat cooler and more intimidating, I think is a good idea. So,
dude, this guy has veins that are like popping out. Like, I look at this guy; he's about to have an aneurysm every 2 minutes. I think he's got the look down. I think that's
no, he does.
Let's judge this when it's all done. Like when I got my whole back tattoo done. I mean, it didn't look great at the beginning either.
You're right. You're still working on it, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I've still got, you know, I've still got to get the whole forest done.
Forest?
Yeah.
You like forest that much? That
yeah, I got the Narnia map on my back.
Oh. Okay.
These two had one prior match in July of last year when Zayn was IC champion. And this was maybe lost in all of what was going on here, digesting the tattoo and everything. Vic just casually notes to Ilya, welcome to SmackDown. They got him. They landed him.
If you've been injured for a year, we've been through multiple drafts by the time, you know, this guy, you know, was able to come back.
Did Raw fire him, though, with cause? That's the question. Was he allowed to show up on SmackDown?
All questions worth asking, yes.
So they start off and Ilya was like back into fine form instantly. He hits this running boot and he proceeds to scream at the top of his lungs toward the crowd. And I was like, this is our Ilya who is back. Corey notes that Zane was able to, quote, weather the early emotional storm from Ilya. Well, just wait. And then this just turned into a hell of a match. They go for, Zane's got these rolling Germans. Ilya gets out, elbows him to the head. Then Zane elevates him onto the edge of the apron. And you think he's dropping him for a brainbuster, but he drops him shoulder first on the middle rope. Mm-hmm. I thought this was like the most genius thing. It looked like the safest thing in the world to take. The crowd reacted like this guy was murdered. And it was like his shoulder just came down on the rope. I was like, and it looked like this was not like some like mess up. It looked like this was the intended spot. Whoever came up with this seemed like a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. I thought it was like, I mean, you think he's being spiked on his head, but instead he crashes into the rope. And it looked great. Had a great effect. Absolutely.
Great spot. Then they just get into these big chops, headbutts from Ilya. Zane returns fire, and at this point, this place goes nuts for the striking exchange. And then Ilya hits a powerbomb for the first major near fall. Now, does any of that seem like, are you drawing a blank on any of this?
What do you mean?
This big powerbomb near fall spot, and they're in this crazy like hockey fight with all the strikes? Because I realized I was live at this point. This was all during the commercial break that they were wrestling at a goddamn G1 clip like they were in Osaka. It was crazy. This was the most nutty mid like commercial break sequence that I've seen. So we come back from break. Ilya hits a senton, then a superplex, goes for the H-bomb, and Zane gets his boot up, and they show this replay, and he... Ilya just like face plants onto this boot, and I don't know how this man didn't lose his teeth. He just took this full boot to the face. Just insane. Helluva misses, goes for the Constantine special, and then tries for the Torpedo Moscow, which is stopped with a mid-ring Helluva. Crowds chanting holy shit after a blue thunder bomb, and then Solo Sikoa walks out, and Zane is distracted. And I was like, my God, are they going to do Leon Slater and Javon Evans? Is that what we're getting at the end of this? Well, folks, they learned their lesson because they did what they should have done on Sunday at Bound for Glory, because Sikoa just walks to the back and then Ilya catches him with there's an exploder to Ilya. And then as Zane goes for the Helluva, he's cut off with a Torpedo Moscow and H-bomb as Ilya wins in 19 minutes and 20 seconds. This is the way you bring a guy back. And then Zane just stands in the middle, shakes hands with Ilya, and then the MFTs attack all of them. So we basically got the same Dark State attack as Bound for Glory, but all the difference in the world when you do it after the excellent match has concluded. I thought this was one of the best WWE TV matches this whole year. It was amazing.
It really, really fantastic. I'm very surprised by the booking, and I like it. I mean, it puts Dragunov on the map in a big way. I think Zane ultimately had a really good run as a U.S. champion. I'm curious to see if he rematches and stays on the hunt in the U.S. title scene, or if he moves into a world title contender level.
Well, if Jacob Fatu is out for the rest of the year, they need a new babyface, and Zane is as ready for that spot as the number two babyface on SmackDown as you've got, and he could be very well put into that place as kind of a second to Cody or something involving that.
Well, that was my other question. I mean, was this run cut short because Jacob Fatu was injured and we need Sami Zayn in that position? And in either case, I mean, Ilya Dragunov being put into this main position, I think is very strong. I hope he continues this open challenge gimmick, because a weekly feature of an Ilya Dragunov match, I think, you know, promises to deliver on at the very least a similar level of quality as a Sami Zayn weekly challenge. And they did mention that
God knows there won't be anything else going on for this guy. Like, just get him out there and wrestle every week. That's probably your best bet.
They also mentioned that Shinsuke Nakamura is still owed a U.S. title rematch. So, you know, you can expect that match on the horizon, or maybe some sort of three-way, you know, involving Sami Zayn as well. So
The MFTs attack both of them, and then Ray Phoenix runs down. He gets murdered by Tala Tonga. All three are laid out, and Solo says they all forgot we run SmackDown, and he's going to make his family tree champions again. When the lights go out and the Wyatt Six appear, and Bo Dallas states that when you knock on the door, be prepared for what's on the other side, and the Wyatts appear on the apron. The crowd is chanting holy shit at this showdown. Part of me would think, God, take these two groups and let them just feud to an infinite period of time. But the MFTs are involved in so much stuff now, from the Zayn attacks. They did the stuff with Ray Phoenix tonight. Now we're involved with the Wyatts. So I think we're getting a lot of MFTs over the next while. But that was our segment. They exited as the Wyatts remained in the ring.
Could be just, I mean, a couple groupings of tag teams here. You know, obviously they're trying to compete for the tag team championships against the Wyatts. And then, I think it would be so disappointing if, like, the end result of this Sami Zayn U.S. title reign is a Sami Zayn Ray Phoenix tag team to go for the tag team championships. I hope that's not it. But that's a lingering thing. And who knows what else. Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chalk-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Raw promo, they promoted Becky and Maxine for the IC title, and then Dominic and Rusev also for the IC title, and Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed to speak. So big Raw on Monday, where they've pretty much got to figure out where all their directions are going and what they're doing with the title. Kathy Kelly's with Tiffany Stratton. She says, this loss to Stephanie Vaquer will not stop me, and mentions the fact I am undefeated over the past year, so one loss will not define me. Like, if you're undefeated and you have one loss, that loss kind of does take precedence, doesn't it? It's a bit of a defining factor. Kiana walks in, says, there's a reason I only offered my expertise to Vaquer and not you. And Tiffany insults her, says, what kind of representation are you? What kind of clauses do you have in your contracts? And it leads to a challenge for next week. So, folks, get ready. 7 days notice. Tiffany Stratton versus Kiana James. And then, in what was just an amazing moment, after this big, like, it sounds impressive. I've been undefeated for the past year. So we get a stat that Tiffany, in 2025, is 17-1. And Corey says, with a straight face, in this day and age, that record is nearly unfathomable. I'd say that's pretty unfathomable, because it's October. And you're telling me she's had 18 matches this year?
Well, compare that to, I guess, some of the other champions that we've had in recent history. Like, if you compare that to, like, a Roman Reigns, you know, record.
Wait, that's not even two matches a month.
Title defenses, though. She has matches. She has... Wait, is this, sorry, this isn't just title defenses, I guess, right? It's,
I mean, she did win the title right at the beginning of the year.
Does it include tag team matches?
All she said was, I've been undefeated for the past year. I would think that would mean all matches, would it not? Okay. I'm not pulling
up. Do I need to go on cage match to look?
No, you don't. It's nearly unfathomable that you could be 17-1 in this day and age. So congratulations. But then everyone, I mean, we talk about sometimes these things fall in your lap and how much you promote them. We talked about AEW's 6th anniversary, like how much do you push this? But sometimes a company just whiffs on these opportunities. It's the 1-year anniversary of the Motor City Machine Guns coming to WWE. And they stated that, you know, we came here and we won the belts. It was like, that could be the end of the sentence right there. So they're giving this message about their, yeah, this, I believe that this happened. Los Garza come in and state that the Machine Guns look like our grandfather's lawnmower.
No, that's not what they said. They said you came in like a Ferrari, but now you're more like my grandfather's lawnmower.
Oh, I see. Okay. So yeah that's a way better line. So the Machine Guns state, Well, who did we beat last year? We beat you. So let's celebrate our anniversary by facing you guys. It's like, okay, is this Survivor Series? Is this Saturday night's main event? Like, this is a big deal. This is a one-year anniversary match. It's coming up next after the commercial break. So anyone complaining that you didn't get Jacob Fatu here in the Bay Area, shut your mouth, okay? Because you got the Machine Guns one-year SmackDown anniversary match featuring Alex Shelley, who Corey Graves reminds us is the encyclopedia of wrestling maneuvers.
See, this is one of those where I'm expecting a YouTube comment from somebody saying, how about a little bit of unbiased recapping, okay? Why are you so sarcastic? This was a perfectly fine segment.
Imagine these guys, like, we came
in. What if this
here?
Was at AEW? Would you have made the same comments?
Yes, I would, actually. The Machine Guns, what a year it's been. Two guys that I think are clamoring for the return of 3-hour SmackDowns.
Well, the entire tag division, I would argue, is clamoring for the return of 3-hour
SmackDowns. More on them later, folks.
Yes.
Sometimes you just need to take a few months off for strategic purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So the Machine Guns and Los Garza. Shelley makes the tag to Sabin, who hits a big high cross onto both. Berto hits a sit-out powerbomb. It's a gory special by Garza, followed by a blockbuster from Berto. Really good stuff here between these two. Berto hits a Fosbury to the Machine Guns on the floor, and then they try the MTY, but it's stopped, and they double-team Garza, hit the Skull and Bones in 9 minutes and 36 seconds. A nice match, and I look forward to it next October.
It'll be an annual thing.
I think it should be. Yeah.
Yeah. A strong match. I think Los Garza have been looking very good. They've always been looking good, but I think now, especially,
No Santos Escobar.
Nope. I mean, I don't even think their faction is even a thing anymore. At least they don't come out representing them in any sort of like identifiable way. So I wonder. I thought Graves continued to do a really good job of putting over the Motor City Machine Guns. He was a very effective
part. He called them twice. Yeah.
So judging by this, it seems like they might be aiming towards rebuilding the tag division, or at least rebuilding their status on the show a bit.
I took this as just like taking attendance.
Could be that too. Yeah.
Everyone had to show up for work this week. And we go backstage and... two guys that I have not thought about in a long time, and that's a real tragedy. Nathan Frazier and Axiom. And I had to think, I was like, here are these two guys who are just like amazing. And we haven't seen them in forever. And then I started thinking, wait, do you remember the Creeds? Those poor guys.
Oh, yeah.
When Chad Gable got hurt, they just disappeared. Gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there's such a backlog of teams on Raw that the Creeds, they just can't be found. Like, those poor guys, like, if you have nothing to do with them, like, God, put them somewhere.
Put them in NXT.
Anywhere. Yeah. Evolve. Anywhere. Yeah. Anyway. So, Frazier tells Axiom, we need to do something. Let's go punch someone in the face. Make an impact. Axiom comes back, or we wait patiently. So DIY come in, and they're laughing at these two, asking if they'd missed them. So they stayed away for the last 2 months so that the Street Profits couldn't blame us for anything, and the Profits showed the world that they are who we said they are, choke artists. What a brilliant plan.
Yes.
We stayed home for 2 months and did nothing. The Garzas, they state, are still losers. The Wyatts still think it's Halloween every week. And then, when talking about Halloween masks, make fun of Axiom's, and that prompts Axiom to no longer wait patiently, and he issues a challenge to DIY and will fight them anytime. The tag division is back way.
Yeah, yeah. So, it certainly seems to be that way. I mean, you know... is it the fact that this show went to 2 hours that we suddenly didn't have time for the tag division? I really don't know, but this show has certainly been missing them. I mean, I guess you could tell that they were trying to fulfill some of the quota of, like, you know, having their great wrestling on this show through the Sami Zayn open title challenge. I guess it remains to be seen whether or not that continues now that Zayn no longer has the championship. So it perhaps means that, hey, the tag team division come back because we need good wrestling on the show again.
Do you know how many people we see on a weekly edition of NXT? That has to be the show that gets, like, I swear to God, there's like 100 characters to follow on NXT. There is no scene that goes longer than like 60 seconds backstage, and then boom, we're on to the next one, the next one, the next one. They get everybody on that show. I'm not saying that's the perfect blend, but I am not going to cede that 2 hours is not more than enough time for a roster to be featured and that you have so many people that just disappear forever. 2 hours is plenty.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to be a three-hour advocate.
This is a division that has entirely become neglected since the show changed back, and I'm looking forward to just seeing some of these matches again. I'm kind of sick of like these tag team the tag team division being reduced to like Wyatt family stuff. So hopefully that's looking like it's going to change.
It's time for the main event. Jacob Fatu's music plays, but we go backstage and he has been attacked. He is laid out, bleeding from the mouth. Corey asks, are those Fatu's teeth on the ground? And Vic says, I don't want to speculate.
That looks like it. Yeah.
Responsible journalist, Vic Joseph. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speculate. Drew comes out with a big grin on his face, mocks Jacob Fatu, calling him Bleeding Gums Fatu, and he wants to be declared the winner. Nick Aldis comes out, he's furious, warning Drew if he had anything to do with that attack, but Drew denies doing any of that. So he wants the match awarded to him, and we hear, enough! Cody comes out, all dressed to the nines, and he says these people wanted a number one contenders match. This is an A market in San Jose. Advance of over 10,000. Well, they're going to get a title match. And we go right into things. It's Cody in his dress clothes, and they brawl into the crowd, finally making it back toward the ring. Vic proclaims, this is why he's our quarterback, our champion. And the bell rings. We get an intense Cody Rhodes throughout most of this. He goes for the bionic elbow, but is hit with the Future Shock DDT. As Corey notes, QB1 is flat on his back, but Cody comes back. QB1 goes for a dive, but is caught with a forearm into the timekeeper's area, and Cody blasts him with the belt, causing a DQ. And then they fight onto the desk. Security is out, and Cody ends with a big dive off of the top onto Drew and all the security members as he owns the ring as Drew is selling on the floor. So that's how the show ended, and would seem to suggest some kind of stipulation match they're going to come back with at Saturday night's main event.
Mm-hmm. I would have anticipated Drew to have beaten Jacob Fatu to lead to this eventual outcome anyway, right? To me, it only makes sense. And I understand, like, doing this to perhaps satisfy the crowd into thinking that, you know, even though we lost our hometown guy from competing in a match, hey, we got a world title match on in front of our eyes, unannounced. So I felt like that was a good idea. I hated this finish, though, and I don't really understand at all why Cody Rhodes would attack Drew McIntyre with the belt to get himself DQ'd. I thought it made Cody look so bad. It made him look like the coward who wanted an out of this title defense that he suggested himself.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, to me, it was a, like, you promise a you give them a title match, but you give this finish. But I will say, in this modern WWE audience, it's, we get to see Cody. We get to see the star. And I think they take that as, I think a lot of these fans, they don't even care that they just got to see, two big stars battle. And obviously, like, they're trying to set things up for the rematch here without giving you pretty much anything here. Like, I
would have done a double DQ. I would have had like a very, like, they've had this in the past where, like, you know, two people will fight, they'll brawl into the crowd, they'll give the crowd a really impressive spot so that they're at least satisfied in seeing something special that way, and then they'll call the match off, and then they'll build to another match in the future. This, all of that, anything like that would have been better than the babyface getting himself DQ'd by using a weapon.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's like you did the WrestlePalooza match, and it's not like they kept that one really open-ended for a rematch, and maybe that was not the design, and their hand is sort of forced here. And I guess, you know, doing Drew as the one to lay out Cody, it was like that was such a big angle that they had just done prior to WrestlePalooza. I don't know. It wasn't the most ideal setup beyond, I feel we're getting something, whether it's a street fight, no DQ match, something like that for Saturday night's main event, which this match, to run it back for a Peacock special, like it's fine.
It's fine. It's not, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. It's not necessarily the biggest hook for the show.
The big hook is going to be whatever Punk is doing on this show. And if you're going to be setting up a, like, figuring out the title situation, I would imagine that's going to be the focus of this. And this Cody Drew, it sort of feels like it's just a match to run back. So there you go. SmackDown featuring a snake, featuring bloody teeth. Mm-hmm. What did you think about the and an title amazing change. Match with Zayn and Dragunov.
Yeah. So I thought it was an eventful show that way. You know, you got to see Dragunov not just come back, but also beat Sami Zayn for the championship, ending his reign. You know, the whole Jacob Fatu thing, yes, their hands were somewhat tied, and I think they really wanted, you know, Jacob Fatu to be on this particular show in his home area. But I don't know.
Jacob Fatu, we don't know exactly when this happened, but he has not wrestled since September the 12th. So you could certainly say, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
Were they pretty sure that this guy was not going to be ready and we're going to promote this guy
in
his hometown for a week?
Well, when did the report come out?
The report only came out a few days ago, but we don't know.
So even then, you knew several days ago. So it's not like they were, like, you know, handicapped, like, to this afternoon having to scramble to figure something out, right? I guess, like, I understand why they kept Jacob Fatu around. I don't love the bait and switch, and I certainly don't love the way this match ended with Cody DQing himself.
Yeah, like, I think that's a fair thing. They promoted this match all week that you were going to get, that I would venture to guess a week ago they knew they would not be delivering this match because this guy has not wrestled in a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you have it, everybody. That was SmackDown, and we're going to be taking, we have a bunch of feedback and questions that we're going to be getting to, so we're going to say goodbye here on the YouTube stream, but we're going to be back here on this channel Saturday night around midnight Eastern time reviewing Wrestle Dream. So tune back on Saturday night following what's going to close the show.
Darby and Mox, I feel.
All right. Well, we will be following that then. We will see what they have in store in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. So thanks everyone for joining us. We'll chat with you after Wrestle Dream. Now we head on over to forum.postwrestling.com. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.